John the Baptist is a strange figure, and we have to resist the temptation to domesticate him, to just let him sort of fade into the great tapestry that makes up Christianity and say, oh, what an interesting, kind of charming, peculiar figure. I don't know about you, but my breakfast this morning did not consist of locusts. And what I'm wearing is far more comfortable than animal skin. He's a strange figure, and doubly puzzling for us because he's not just a strange figure. He's someone whom people are deeply, deeply drawn to. That's the puzzle. Why? What is this appeal? And remember, we're going to hear this in Lent. Even Herod is fascinated by John the Baptist, perplexed, but loves to listen to him. What is the appeal? I think it's because he is the sign of a beyond, the sign of a beyond. Think about this. He had every possibility, easiest thing in the world, to go up into Jerusalem and make his proclamation there in the city. But he does not. He refuses to dwell in the city. He refuses to exercise his ministry in the city. He remains outside, outside the place of comfort, outside the place of my own design, my own ordering, in the wilderness. And so, if I am going to listen to him, I myself must leave the place of my own security, the place of my comfort. I must go. And this becomes a revelation for people. There is still a world outside of the world as I've created it. There's this other possibility out there. We're constantly in danger, I think, of collapsing that possibility back down. There was this phenomenon a few years ago, maybe you read about it, very peculiar phenomenon called glamping. Some of you have clearly heard about it. It's glamorous camping, glamping. And I wanted to make sure I got the definition correct, so I went. They actually have a trade website, glamping.com. I do not recommend it to you. Here's how they describe it. They say, glamping is the way to experience untamed nature without having to sacrifice creature comforts. To which I say, impossible. I'm not going to become a troll on their website, but impossible. You cannot have both. You want to leave, you want to have an untamed experience of nature, but you want to do it in your luxury cabana. You've simply brought the city with you. You've brought your place of comfort, security, luxury out with you. It's just a small example. I think it illustrates a much broader spiritual principle, which is that we're always in danger of making this compromise. We do want to go. We want to go out to the place of untamed nature, but we're afraid to leave our terms behind. If we can dare to persist for a moment before this strange man who is utterly bereft of comfort, to really let ourselves see him there in his strange garment, the strange food that he eats, there is now a second revelation, which is that underneath, down below, all these comforts that I stockpile for myself in my daily life, all those little things that buffer the experience of my day, underneath those comforts, there is a deeper discomfort. And it's a discomfort precisely with them. I recommend that you consult with Thomas about this, St. Thomas Aquinas. He has said it better than anyone else in the church before or since, There is no finite thing in the world that will be sufficient to be my happiness in an absolute, final way. There is no finite thing in the world. Why? Because I am created for the infinite good. I am oriented toward the infinite good. And so if I stuff my life full of all kinds of finite comforts, what will finally happen is that deep down, there will be this seething, burning discomfort. What's the culmination of these two moments of revelation? If I remain there before this man, bereft of all comfort, it ripens into hope, which is the great theme of Advent. Why? Because his proclamation is that there is a further comfort. It is not just the things that I've packed my life full of. There is a further comfort, and I'm created for that. One thing that I like to do during Advent is to listen to Handel's Messiah, if I can in person. But a couple days ago, I put it on my iTunes and sat and listened to that great work of Handel. And I discovered that he actually, because of the brilliant libretto that he's working with, that great work opens with this strange dialectic between comfort and discomfort. It's right there in the beginning of Messiah. You remember the opening scene, "Comfort ye, my people." The tenor announces the great theme, comfort ye, my people. Every valley shall be exalted. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That's the opening movement of the Messiah. And then for all the world, there is this strange turn that takes place. "Thus saith the Lord," says the bass, "the Lord of hosts. Yet once a little while, and I will shake." And in that great Baroque ornamentation, "I will shake," you know. Some days I wish I had a bass voice so that I could just shake like that. "I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." But you see, that's the necessary development from the announcement of comfort. Because only God can finally be my comfort, and so he has to shake me. He has to shake me out of all the false comforts that I seek to put in his place. That's the work of Advent. It's a jarring work. And here's the danger for us Christians. How many Advents have you lived in your life? I remember distinctly as a child, Advent was always my favorite season because it's like, you know what? The whole enormous horizon is open and anything is possible. That's how a child lives Advent. But as the years go on, you kind of know what to expect. You know? Now we're 2 weeks away from Christmas. We'll have Christmas, lots of family. We'll do the presents. We'll go to midnight mass or 4 o'clock. We'll turn the new year. Da, da, da. And then all of a sudden, what's happened? I've closed off the realm of possibility. I'm like those Pharisees and Sadducees who come down. They're intrigued by what John the Baptist is doing. But what do they say? The definitive encounter is in our past. We have Abraham as our father. It's already behind us. There's always a danger for Christians that we live as if Christianity lies behind us and not perpetually in front of us. And so what's the invitation of Advent? Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. And what does it mean? What does John the Baptist tell us? It means that I myself must set out on the way. That's how I prepare the way, by setting out on the way myself. And we have total confidence that if we do, we will find him there.